Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dota Obs Podcast. I'm your host, Bobo. Well, first off, it's been a while since the last episode had been released. I apologize. I took a long and needed hiatus from recording the podcast episodes. But I am back and getting back to it. And hopefully, you know, we can keep delivering content that you are interested in, enjoy, and hopefully learn something from. For today's episode, we are going to go over how to farm more efficiently. We will look into three aspects for this. We will look into resources to spend, farming patterns slash items, and creep quality. We've already touched briefly on farming in episode 5, but for this episode, we are going to go into it in more detail and hopefully provide some ideas on how to better increase your GPM and overall efficiency with farming. This will be more tailored towards position 1 and occasionally position 2 heroes. However, these will be good concepts to keep in mind even for supports, as little ways to acquire gold during lull moments in the game. And as always, these are thoughts and are more to provide ideas during your games. They are not concrete principles to follow. You know, as much as I would love to, you know the give you the perfect advice or, you know, concrete, hard, you know, principle or, you know, factor to keep in mind or to follow during games, you know, unfortunately, I just don't have that. But, you know, with all that, let's dive in. So let's start with the first point, resources to spend. So first thing to consider when farming is what resources you have at your disposal. You have XP, time, and gold, which I know sounds a little weird because we're talking about like increasing your GPM, but gold is a resource you spend to increase your GPM and to help you, you know, be more efficient with it. Understanding when and how to use all of these is critical to increasing your efficiency. Luckily, we have guides nowadays that help take care of two of those resources, because it does the thinking for you, and it highlights what skills to level up and what items to buy. So basically, it helps save you time and shows you what to spend money and XP on. So the first one we'll dive into really is experience. Experience is knowing what skill build to go based off the state of the game. Most of the time, knowing which skill to get is fairly straightforward, honestly. And a lot of it does come down to knowing your hero. Some skills are better off in the early game, others scale better throughout the game. For example, let's take Dragon Knight's stun on his Dragon Tail. This is an example of a skill that you only put 1 point in because at level 1, it is 2.5 seconds, which in Dota time is forever long. But it only scales by 0.25 seconds for every level after that. Some games you may need the additional health for your talent tree because you are trying to fight a lot. Others, you will need damage to compensate for your team's lack of DPS. So try to keep the awareness of the current state of the game as well as what your plan on your hero's overall build will be. Knowing your hero and how they match up against the opposing team is a great place to start with knowing how to spend your experience. Then the next resource that we mentioned is time. So time is probably, at least in my opinion, I believe is the biggest measuring stick of efficiency. Dota revolves heavily around timing, whether that timing is through power spikes, through Rosh respawning, or capitalizing on dead enemy heroes. When you are farming, one way to keep tabs on how well you are doing is measuring CS, which is an acronym for creep score. And you measure CS against the current minute. The closer you average to 10 CS a minute, the better you are doing. So for example, a great timing on getting Battle Fury is at or close to 15 minutes. If you can get it earlier, that is phenomenal. The earlier you get that farming item, the faster you will acquire gold and get better items. If you are late at getting the item, your other items will be pushed back, thus inhibiting your ability to come online earlier and impact the game. Then the last point, resource to go over is gold. And again, I think this is probably, even though experience was fairly straightforward from what we talked about, I think gold is the most straightforward out of all the three. The faster you acquire gold, the faster you'll be able to impact the game. The biggest question that comes after getting all the gold is what to do with it. Which item do I spend it on? And situationally, do I hold on to it for buyback? There are tried and true builds for heroes in regards to certain heroes in positions. For example, like AM getting Battle Fury. You know, that is pretty much a core item on him that AM builds to Battle Fury because he has a good, because his kit, because of his blink ability, and he scales pretty well with damage, so he wants to get items as fast as possible, and he already has great mobility. Another hero, for example, is Tinker with Boots of Travel, although actually, now that I think about it, that is actually no longer relevant because they just barely gave him a new skill with the, I can't remember what the skill is called. I've played him only like twice in the new patch. I'm not good with Tinker by any means, but I enjoy the hero, but I'm far, far away from being the annoying Tinker that everybody hates to play against as constantly pushing out waves. But so Tinker with bots, so that used to be a core item, a tried and true build, but obviously no longer anymore. And then just another example is TA with Desolator. Helps her farm crazy efficiently, and she already does high right click, and with her meld strike lowering the armor, it just increases her damage. Like, it skyrockets her damage. Basically, these examples is to show like that these items that fully synergize with heroes to increase their impact with damage, farming, mobility, or other innate abilities of theirs, or to help compensate for the lack thereof. So essentially, all of these, everything we've reviewed of these three resources, gold, out of all of them, gold is the most important resource for cores, notably position one. The more gold they have and spend on items that help them impact the game, the stronger they are. You acquire gold by using the two previous resources, experience and time, we covered to help supplement your farming tactics. The next point we will touch on is farming patterns and items. A farming pattern is essential when trying to obtain gold quickly. Getting into rhythm helps with decision making, so you can spend more time thinking about the next item you will buy or checking the map more often to track the enemy's movements or monitor a team fight. There is a delicate balance to be made between farming and fighting as a core. Personally, I do not have the exact answer for when to fight or keep farming because it is so highly situational. Sometimes you can notice a team fight is lost, or it may take you a while to get there even after teleporting. Other times, the enemy may be diving under tower and you have already committed a lot of spells, and they have already committed a lot of spells, so it's a great opportunity for a counterplay. Being able to distinguish between fighting and farming comes from, experience of just simply playing the game. One way to develop this skill is to watch the map more often and try to keep track of where you last saw enemies. You can go a step further and keep track of when they teleported, so you can move to the other side of the map to counter push, keep farming, or commit to the fight yourself. Knowing your hero also comes into play again. Some heroes are better at fighting earlier in the game than others. So for example, Medusa does not like to fight early, but Juggernaut can fight early. This is not to say that Medusa, like, you shouldn't fight earlier or you should always fight earlier with Juggernaut, but it's with their innate abilities and their timings with coming online and, their kits. Typically Juggernaut is a lot more ready to fight earlier than Medusa is, but Medusa is a harder late game carry than Juggernaut is. Even though, in my opinion, I think Juggernaut can contend with her pretty well, but I'm also biased because I love Juggernaut, and he's one of my favorite heroes in the game. He's my favorite position one hero. And if you want some homework, watch any replay of Miracle or Arteezy in a typical game, and you can quickly see some visual farming patterns they establish. Often, they will rotate between the jungle and the nearest lane. They'll kind of establish a quick rhythm there and do a dance. You'll see it a lot at the early stages of the game, like right in the, sometimes when they, if they win a lane, you'll see them like pull the wave, pull like the enemy creep wave into a small camp closest to the lane, and then they'll farm both at the same time. Or they'll, you know, or they'll just, you know, find ways, or they'll TP to a tower that's getting pushed in and then clear out that farm and then push on from there. So that's a farming pattern. Farming items are basically just that, items that help you further accelerate your farm. These items include Battle Fury, Maelstrom, Mask of Madness, Midas, Manta, and Radiance. Some of these items offer other utility and have decent damage, but their first priority, first and foremost, is farming. Maybe not Manta so much. Manta is a little bit, I guess Manta would be more of a defensive item, perhaps, because of the dispel and whatnot. But I've always, in my experience, I've always used it more as a farming item, because then you just A-click your illusions to go down the lane and to push them down there. So you could make a case for both. But regardless, farming items are just that, items to help you further accelerate your farm. Okay, let's move on to the last point, creep quality. So a while ago, I was playing a game, and my position one Spectre at, it was very, very early on the game. I almost want to say around 4 minutes, maybe five minutes. Anyways, it was around 4 minutes, I want to say. The Spectre said to my friend who was supporting them, "Okay, take lane, I go jungle." So this was not, it was not in a tilting manner or anything, mind you. Their lane was fairly static. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. It was just fair. They were trading. It was going pretty regular, you know. The Spectre wasn't, you know, having a hard time by any means. The Spectre, though, figured they could just go into jungle and get uninterrupted farm. I will admit, I am definitely guilty of doing this too. However, leaving your lane this early is bad. Unless you've gotten dominated or completely bullied out of your lane, you definitely never want to leave your lane earlier than you need to. Yes, there are times where you can transition out and into their jungle farming mode, but those are more situational. And obviously, position one cores usually eventually resort to jungle farming anyways. But my whole point that's going to be here is not to leave earlier than you need to, and I'll explain why. The main reason that I'm emphasizing not to leave lane earlier than you need to is because you want to secure gold and XP in the lane. Lane creeps are way more valuable than jungle creeps. Why do you think higher level MMRs make such an effort to secure or deny the range creep the first few waves? Well, because the range creep is worth 69 experience. And every hero needs 230 experience to reach level 2. The range creep alone is 30% of your experience to get to level 2. Now, obviously, that's for one hero, so it'd be 15% experience, because the experience would be split between the two heroes in lane for the core and the support. But so, and when you deny the range creep, the enemy gets half of that experience. And, that, and again, that's for one hero. So if it's one hero, then the math goes down even more. I don't know the exact math for that one. But that is just one small example of the importance of lane creeps. On average, they are worth more gold and experience than jungle creeps. And actually by a pretty significant amount too. And to showcase that, I'll give you some quick numbers right here to showcase the difference in lane creeps versus jungle creeps in the first 15 minutes of the game, because the laning stage typically goes on for, I think it's around 15 minutes, I want to say. I know we did an episode going over this, but I think it's about 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes around there, depending on how the game goes. So lane creeps have 58% more gold and experience value than a small jungle camp. They have 49% more gold and 43% more XP then medium jungle camps. Then they have, and then going up to large jungle camps, they have 35% more gold and 33% more XP. The only camp that they do not have more gold or experience on is the ancient camps. And the ancient camp has, or excuse me, the lane creeps have provide 8% less gold and 18% less experience than the ancient camps. And also, it is important to note that at the current time of this podcast, the jungle has been nerfed in recent patches. I think it was 7.29, I want to say, where the jungle creeps no longer get gold and XP increased by 2% every 7.5 minutes. And also, which in my opinion, I think that was a welcome change because it caused players to prioritize the jungle a little too much, which led to less direct engagements and just made the games a little bit more boring overall to watch for pro matches or big tournaments. But anyways, from the numbers that I have just reviewed, hopefully it wasn't too much of a info or a fire hose of information. But from what we just reviewed, you can see how much more value the lane creeps have than jungle creeps. So with that, always try to farm the waves as often as you can. Lane creeps are often riskier but yield higher reward. Jungle creeps are vice versa. All right, so we'll just do a quick review of what we have gone over. So the first point we covered was resources, and we went over the resources you have at your disposal to farm with, which are time, experience, and gold. The second point we covered was establishing farming patterns and utilizing farming items to further accelerate your efficiency. And then the third point was to know and understand creep quality. Emphasize higher quality creeps as much as possible. Basically, go after lane creeps as much as you can versus jungle creeps. Well, that is all we have for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening and for staying loyal and continuing to, follow along and keep listening to these podcast episodes. It helps a lot more than you realize. As always, if there's ever any questions or anything specifically you want me to go over or cover, you can let me know on Reddit. Or you can let me know on the website as well. So yeah, with that, again, thank you very much for taking the time to listen. Really appreciate it. Good luck and have fun in your games.